Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of our brother Jesus, affirming that this is indeed the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. As we worship the God who can make a blessing of all the works of our hands and of our hearts, I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us via live streaming or recorded worship. We know that distance and time may be separating us, but we also know that by the power of our loving God, we can be one in Christ. And so let us endeavor to do that this day in a beautiful time of being the church together. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. We have a few announcements that need to come before this congregation this morning as we gather in worship. One of those is to do what we normally do, which is to thank all of our worship leaders for giving of their time and talents in making our worship happen this day. And so I give thanks this morning to worship leaders, Sarah Lynn Keller and Tom Foster and Wayne Zaretter, and also to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer for helping us with the technical side of making this worship happen this day. We invite all of you to a time of post-worship fellowship via Zoom video conferencing, roughly about 11:30 or so. We'll begin, and you can find a link to that time together in the church's weekly emailing, which is called The Link, as well as on the church's website. So we look forward to you joining us this day for a time together following worship to be the church and continue in that way. This is the first Sunday of the month, and traditionally that means for us that we share communion together. And so we invite you to have some elements prepared for your time sharing in communion this day. Gather together what you will use for bread and wine, bread or crackers or something else that you can break and share with others who might be with you, juice or wine or water in a cup or cups. Any of those things will work well. We also have, during our time of worship, a time of candle lighting. That happens immediately following the announcement. So we encourage you to have a candle that you can light as we light the Christ candle. During our worship, we always lift up prayer concerns and celebrations. And so it is possible for you to do that by letting us know what's on your mind and heart this day. If you email those now, or anytime up through the time of the reflection, to admin@firstchurchnatick.org, we should be able to incorporate them into our prayer time together. So we do encourage you to do that. We want to know what's happening in your lives and the joys and celebrations that are appearing before you, that you want to lift up before the church and before our community and world. Sarah Lynn, I think you have some additional announcements this morning.
Yes, thank you. So we do have our midweek connection and prayer on Wednesdays at noon, and we invite you to join us for about 30 minutes of a time to share prayer concerns and then pray together. And you can find those links to that Zoom call in the same places Jonathan spoke about earlier. And also a reminder that Jonathan is available for pastoral care concerns during the week. You can email him or give him a call, and he would be happy to spend time with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah Lynn. And so now we do come to that time of continuing to be the worshiping church together as together we light a candle. Let us do that now, remembering that by these friendly flames, flames of the Spirit, we are one in the body of Christ, knowing that God lives and is in everything at all times, and in particular with us as we worship this day. Let us continue our worship now with our responsive call to celebration.
Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. God has given us holy hands.
Hands to caress a deep ache, a tight knot of stress and tension.
Hands to hold a hurt child Embrace a lonely friend. Care for one who is ill.
Hands to create a loving meal or a work of art.
Hands to till the soil or make a bed.
Hands to write to one in need or call another with good news.
God has given us holy hands.
Hands to bring God's touch to earth, changing lives and healing the creation.
Join me in the opening prayer as we say together, laboring God, we praise you for the wonder, beauty, and goodness of your creation, for the order of the universe, and for the rhythm of work and rest you established. To our amazement, you have made us co-workers with you in your ongoing creation. We come together to celebrate this privilege and to reflect as your spirit guides us upon the meaning and joy in working creatively with you all our days. May the work of our worship be pleasing to you, we pray. Amen.
I invite us each now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of peace or blessing, placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace, and meeting the peace of the spirits of others with our peace, or perhaps using the word namaste and a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me honors and welcomes the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We come to a time now of lifting up our offerings before God. And of course, we know that we're not passing an offering plate. That's not possible to do in this time, but it is possible for us to dedicate our time, talents, and treasure to the meaningful work of God in the world, the work of healing and reconciliation and of peacemaking, helping us to be the people that God calls us to be. So we invite you to be generous in your giving, to be generous by writing a check perhaps and mailing that to the church, or perhaps by making an online contribution at www.firstchurchnatick.org. The money is part of the way that we help to be the church together, but we also dedicate ourselves. And so we invite all of you to think of the ways and to be in conversation about the ways that we can continue to be the church together in this time when the world needs to know the love of God powerfully in their lives. Let us give of a portion of the fruit of our labor that we may be co-creators with God, the loving God, whose realm of love is coming into being. Let us pray. Caring God, we offer this portion of the work of our hands, of the resources given to us as a sign of our desire to share with those in need and in the ongoing work of Christ in the world. We offer ourselves as laborers in your vineyard, that your reign may come in fullness upon the earth. Bless our efforts and these gifts, we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading this morning comes from Ecclesiastes and Genesis, beginning in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The words of the teacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher. All is vanity. What do people gain from all the toil at which they toil under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. And continuing in chapter 2, verses 4 through 11 and 18 through 25. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I also had great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and delights of the flesh, and many concubines. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had spent in doing it, and again, all was vanity and a chasing after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who came after me. And who knows whether they would be wise or foolish? Yet they will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for mortals than to eat and drink and find enjoyment in their toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat and who can have enjoyment? And from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 8 through 19. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman, he said, "I will greatly increase your pangs in childbearing. In pain, you shall bring forth your children. Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to the man, he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return."
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All that matters, said Freud, is love and work. But these days, it seems that there is so much work that there is little time for love or any of a number of enjoyable pursuits. Or as I spoke of last week, time for Sabbath, the cessation of doing things that we might consider productive. Our attitude toward work is summed up by a four-year-old whose mother found him crying. Asked why, he sobbed, "I have to tie my shoes." And then the mother replied, "Well, you just learned how. It's not that hard, is it?" "No," he said, "but I'm going to have to do it the rest of my life." For most people, the majority of whose waking lives are spent on the job, work is a necessary evil. And in fact, this Genesis story, this problematic Genesis story in so many ways, ways that we will undoubtedly return to in another sermon. This story tells us that work is said to be God's punishment for the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden. In the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. What a cheerful message. But on this Labor Day weekend, I am wondering if that's what our work is really all about. Tracing some of my own work history, my toil, I find, hasn't always felt like punishment. Mowing lawns and shoveling snow. At age 10, I was very proud to get the upper hand on the grass and the snow, and also to be a kind of entrepreneur. At 12, tending crops for an energetic, if elderly, woman who taught me how to work, to start early, to keep at it, and to do it right the first time. Appreciating getting more responsibility during those times, like the glory of being able to drive the tractor. Age 14 through college, scraping and painting houses, seeing clapboards when I closed my eyes at night, but taking pride in having a skill and doing a job well and knowing that I was helping to put myself through college. As you can see, it's a skill that I have continued to use more than 40 years later. Being a therapeutic aide in an elementary school with some seriously difficult kids, but finding a passion for teaching. So many kinds of work and toil, but usually also some satisfaction there. So I can appreciate Joseph Conrad, who wrote, "I don't like work, no one does, but I like what is in work, the chance to find yourself." Well, one satisfaction in this work was that it was always work that needed doing. And in the poem, To Be of Use, Marge Piercy writes, "The people I love the best jump into work headfirst. I love people who harness themselves, an ox to a heavy cart, who pull like water buffalo with massive patience, who strain in the mud and muck to move things forward, who do what has to be done again and again. I want to be with people who submerge in the task, who go into the fields to harvest and work in a row and pass the bags along, who move in a common rhythm when the food must come in or the fire be put out. The work of the world is common as mud. Botched, it smears the hands, crumbles to dust, but the thing worth doing, well done, has a shape that satisfies. Greek amphoras for wine or oil, Hopi vases that held corn are put in museums, but you know they were made to be used. The pitcher cries for water to carry, and the person for work that is real." The thing worth doing, well done, does have a satisfying shape. It is work that is real. In the mid-1990s, I had a terrific job. It was a job in public relations, working at Harvard University. Great pay and colleagues, support staff who were really wonderful. I had a fancy title. I was university spokesperson. I hobnobbed with Nobel laureates and celebrities and other high mucky mucks. But no matter how important I felt, every day I woke up to the same reality. My job was to polish an image that was always gaining tarnish. Like Sisyphus pushing that stone up the hill only to have it roll back down the other side and to do it again. It just didn't feel real to me. Well, ministry can feel unreal too. I don't always see what I'm doing makes any kind of real difference. And in these days of coronavirus, as physically separated from you as I am, something I never ever thought possible, frankly, it's even easier to wonder about the difference that I am making in your lives, let alone the world. And so I think about my pastor father, long retired now and coming up on age 92 this week. Happy birthday, Dad, if you're watching. Who passed on to me one of the most useful ministry tools that I know. It's this. That's right, this hand weed puller. Thinking back to my childhood, I picture him hard at work with it out in the front lawn, trying to eradicate the dandelions. Talk about Sisyphus. I understand what he was all about, though. He knew that ministry can feel unreal. And so it is good to have work that is useful and whose results you can readily see. The author of Ecclesiastes, named Koheleth spoke honestly about his work experience. I considered all my hands had done and the toil I spent in doing it, and all was vanity and chasing after wind. This Hebrew word that's translated as vanity literally means vapor, something absolutely insubstantial. I built, I made, I planted, I bought, I gathered. Anything that we are doing, he says he did. And yet staring at the works of his hands, he sees what? He sees an illusion. For Koheleth, whatever the endeavor, ultimately our toil is futile. And so there's despair in Koheleth's words. That's what the scripture says. And I think again about the flooding that I witnessed in the Mad River Valley in Vermont during Hurricane Irene back in 2011. Homes and businesses and roads and bridges and possessions and six lives swept away in a short amount of time. I watched as one of the valley's best restaurants was completely inundated with water. You can see it there in that photo. And all the painstaking work that the chef owner had put in for several years was obliterated in minutes. He couldn't bring himself to rebuild. I saw homes renovated with pride only a few years before, reduced to cavernous hulks. All that investment of time and energy and money working to make things better. I can imagine those who saw the floodwaters rise, rip through town, and leave destruction, devastation in their wake, as well as those who subsequently went on to devote themselves to rebuild, feeling to some extent, maybe, like this is merely a chasing after wind. I thought of this again as Hurricane Laura tore through Texas and Louisiana. And I'm thinking as well about coronavirus pandemic, and of all the people who have and will have the things that they worked for and built taken from them in a relatively short amount of time. But even if Koalith is right, that nothing endures, there is more yet to work than that. Endurance isn't work's only measure. When we lived in Vermont, while I sometimes use that weed puller, the truth is it was the splitting maul that was my choice of work, tool of choice for work, where I could see, really see the fruits of my labor, the splitting maul. So here I am at work with it some years ago as my then 8-year-old supervisor looked on. I missed that splitting maul. Because when I was splitting wood, I wasn't preoccupied with how it all was just going to be burned up, that I've got to repeat that process again and again and again. No, I loved working my wood pile. It was real work. Real to me because I knew the difference that it made, whether I did it or not. I'd smile on it every time that I saw it. And then I'd smile again when I tossed another log on the fire. And while ministry can, as I said, sometimes feel unreal, I do believe in the marrow of my bones that all the effort of ministry is worth a try because it might make a difference. And that is why I stick to it. And that, frankly, is why I return to ministry with a local congregation rather than continue the more removed work of regional ministry. Genesis says that toil is the punishment for human disobedience. And yet, from the biblical standpoint, work isn't intrinsically evil, not even in the book of Genesis. Remember that before the fall, God placed Adam in Eden to till and to keep it. Adam's work only becomes toil, only becomes like a curse when relationship with God is broken. So maybe the key to successful work then is to bring our identity as God's people to whatever our job is, whatever we are active in the world with. That is the human vocation, actually, the calling that comes to each of us to be God's people, because we are called to be bearers of God's love. We are called to strive and to build the realm of peace that God intends, to do that in the midst of our work, in the midst of our family, in the midst of our leisure, maybe. To be, as the writer of the book of James exhorts us, not merely hearers of the word, but doers of the word. In particular, on behalf of the most vulnerable ones among us. I hope that's happening when, as faith communities or as individuals, people have picked up shovels to clear away mud or got to work with hammers, rebuilding homes and writing checks to help put lives and livelihoods back together in again, whether that was back in 2011 or before or any other year, and this year too. Or this church's many years of involvement with and commitment to the West Virginia work camp. This isn't glamorous work that we are talking about here, but it's the sweat and strain of doing what has to be done. And perhaps it is holy. As Meister Eckhart said, the kind of work we do does not make us holy, but we make it holy. All work is valuable as it contributes to God's hopes for creation and the human community. Made in God's image, we are called to be co-creators with God, continuing God's work of forming and shaping and doing in God's likeness. Maybe the trick isn't finding real work, as Marge Piercy hopes, but maybe it's appreciating whatever we occupy our lives with as the real work of God. How to put that into practice, I know, is a job in itself. But as we attempt to this labor of love, we can do little better than to pray with the psalmist who says, "Let the favor of God be upon us and prosper for us the works of our hands. O prosper the work of our hands." May we join God in making it so. Amen. Beloved, we come now to a time of entering into prayer together. And so we come to this time of prayer together. We pray about the work that we have been given by God, healing, reconciling, peacemaking, loving work we have been given, the human vocation. How should we do this work best when it comes to things such as coronavirus, a reality that we're living now that has claimed nearly 200,000 American lives and almost 900,000 worldwide? When it comes to racism and white supremacy that needs eradicating, and civil unrest that demonstrates the passion of protesters, but also demonstrate the divisions between Americans on these important issues. We will pray about those things, but let us pray about how we will respond to these significant issues in our lives, in our nation's life, and in the global community as well, this significant work, as well as to the everyday hardships and illnesses and griefs, work that means we can respond to those who are in need in many ways. There are numerous prayer concerns and celebrations that we lift up in our church's bulletin. We invite you to look at those and to keep them in your hearts and minds. And I turn now to Wayne Zaretter, who will be letting us know of other prayer celebrations or concerns that have come to us this day. Wayne?
Good morning. Thoughts and prayers go out to Deb Evers as she is having surgery on Tuesday. Prayers to those in California experiencing the heat wave of this weekend and the ravages of ongoing fires. May they stay safe, and for those in need, may they be provided for. Lastly, our thoughts and prayers go out to Beth Olson's uncle, Ralph Peters, who had surgery this week when it was diagnosed that he has metastatic cancer. Please hold Ralph and his family in prayer during the days ahead.
Thank you, Wayne. Beloved, let's be together in this time of prayer as we consider the holy work of being God's people in the world. Let us pray. Eternal God, you are the one who labored in the beginning to initiate creation, to bring to being the life and the love of this, your world that we call home. We honor you this day, giving thanks to you for this same gift of life and love, seeking to open ourselves anew to the significance of our experience of work. You hallowed work by working yourself. And we would be engaged in hallowed work, your hallowed work. Show us, we pray, the way. Excuse me. Not to intrude on your prayer life, beloved, but that just proves that this is live. And we are lively in prayer before our God. So let us return to that. Holy One, we confess the struggle that that we have to keep our work activity in perspective, to remain healthy with it, to remain in balance. There are many, many forces that would interfere with your purposes and this demands of those who obey only the God of work, who suffer the oppression of being caught in the talons of materialism. We're vulnerable. But these forces are greater than our human strength can resist without reference to you. And so we ask, Holy One, rescue us. We pray and protect us. Help us to be the human beings, not the human doings that you call us to be. God, there is much fulfillment in meaningful employment, paid or unpaid. There is satisfaction in the accomplishment of a good day's work, but we would pray this day also for those who have no work. And we would recall that on the seventh day you rested, that your desire for us is not that we stockpile achievement, but that we share in the joys of relationship and celebrate your love and enjoy our eternal relationship with you. We ask so much, and yet we ask these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. People of God, our worship is a time of holy work as well, a time when we break open the word and also break bread together. And so I invite us to do that now. I invite you now, if you have not already done so, to prepare your communion elements for the day by the power of God. We know even an English muffin can become a sacrament, even a cup of water can become a remembrance of God's redeeming love. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You who come to me shall not hunger. You who believe in me shall never thirst. And so in company with all who hunger and thirst for spiritual food, we come to God's table of plenty to know the risen Christ in God's life-giving bread and wine. Come now, people of God, for all things have been made ready. And please join me in this prayer of consecration as I offer these words of introduction. We are one bread, one body, one cup of blessing. Though we are many throughout the earth and this church community is scattered, we are one in Christ. In your many kitchens and living rooms, rest your hands lightly on these elements before you, which we set aside today to be a sacrament. Let God's blessing be upon them as we pray.
Gentle Redeemer, there is no lockdown on your blessing and no quarantine on grace. Send your spirit of life and love, power and blessing upon every table where your child shelters in place, that this bread may be broken and gathered in love, and this cup poured out to give hope to all. Risen Christ, live in us that we may live in you. Breathe in us that we may breathe in you.
People of God, we remember that Paul the Apostle wrote letters to congregations throughout places that we call now Greece, Turkey, Macedonia. And they were the first remote worship resources. Our online service has a very long heritage. And so the communion words that were sent to the church at Corinth were these. For I have received from the Lord what I have also handed to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup also, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us, in our many places, receive the gift of God, the bread of heaven.
We are one in Christ in the bread we share.
Let us, in our many places, receive the gift of God, the cup of blessing.
We are one in Christ in the cup we share.
Take, eat. Let us pray now in thanksgiving for this meal of grace, rejoicing that by the very method of our worship, we have embodied the truth that Christ's love is not limited by buildings made with human hands, nor contained in human ceremonies, but blows as free as the Spirit in all places.
Spirit of Christ, you have blessed our tables and our lives. May the eating of this bread give us courage to speak faith and act love. And not only in church sanctuaries, but in your precious world. And may the drinking of this cup renew our hope, even in the midst of pandemic. Wrap your hopeful presence around all whose bodies, spirits, and hearts need healing. And let us become your compassion and safe refuge. Blessed in our diversity, make us of one in mind, heart, and spirit, that we might proclaim and embody well your love for all creatures and all creation. Amen. Beloved, let us go now to joyfully continue our work for God in our daily lives, trusting that all loving and faithful effort of hand and heart and mind is valued in God's sight.
the blessing of God the Maker, Jesus the Lover, and the Holy Spirit the Enabler, the three who work as one, be upon us and all that we do. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.